how to be a peacemaker. Thank you, ushers. Want to also mention at 10:15 today, 36:59. If you're ages 36 to 59, we will meet today, amen, in the fellowship area, in the conference room area, amen. Amen. That's our new ministry, 36:59, amen. We want to empower you and encourage you, amen. All right. And so we come to the point in our message in this series, Face to Face, where we're back to Abraham. Abraham, who has walked by faith and living by faith. Amen. It's an important thing to understand that he was not just talking faith. He was living faith. Come on, help me. Imagine you're in a bustling marketplace surrounded by mixed people. Merchants and travelers and local people, right? And suddenly a dispute erupts between two merchants over territory, over a space in this marketplace. Just as things seem to be spiraling down or out of control, an elderly man that is respected came between them. And with calm authority, he addressed them. He was urging them, watch this, to remember that they have shared interests. And it's important that they peacefully coexist in the same place. You see, that scenario mirrors this timeless truth found in Genesis 21, 22 to 23, where Abraham and Abimelech made a covenant of peace. Next week, I'll deal with the covenant. Their agreement teaches us the enduring value of living in harmony with other people. You see, what I found out, saints, is that Christians sometimes fail to be peacemakers. Christians sometimes forget somehow that the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes we forget that God has called us not to retaliate, but to restore. Sometimes we have disputes over attitudes, or we may perceive things from someone, amen, and then we ostracize them, or we put a marker on them, or we push them over to the side as if there's something wrong with them just because you have a problem with them. Jesus said this in his word in Luke 6 that always rings loud in my heart. He says, what credit is it if you love those who love you? For even sinners do that. And oftentimes I realize that we sometimes get into our feelings that we take things so personal that we forget that God wants us to be peacemakers. And so today, I just want to look for a minute and see Abraham for a minute. Now, I don't know if I want to call Abraham, well, I don't want to get too hard on Abe because God told him to put Ishmael and Hagar out. Okay, so we got it. You know, but this is the context that we're in. Ishmael now is being blessed. Told you that out of him comes 12 princes. Told you that the Arabs are a lineage to Ishmael. They're blessed. They control all the oil of the world. Now, this passage and the sermon that I'm preaching at 11 o'clock, it just so happened that this is the backdrop or the background to what I'm going to preach in chapter 26. I'm just following the text. Now, Abraham had sojourned in this land. He had moved around and he was growing, he was developing. And now he's at the point where everything about him, everyone could see. Oh, just when you think nobody's looking. Just when you think that, you know, no one is paying attention. Listen, you know what I found out about people? When you're doing good, we dealt with this last week. They're not going to tell you you're doing a good job. Don't look for that validation. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. Don't look for that validation, because that validation may never come, because it's in the nature of people to envy you when you're doing well. Now, there are a few people around you that will, you know, cheerlead you and tell you you're doing a great job, but the people that you expect it from, it may never come. Do I have anybody? And so this is why it's so important that you understand your motive for doing what you're doing, and it has to be for God. Are you with me? Watch this. It says, it came about, let's look at the text, at the time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, my question is this. Why did he bring the commander of his army with him to negotiate? Was he already expecting a fight? Lord have mercy. And so, first thing you need to know if you're going to be a peacemaker is this. You got to work on this. Don't think the worst about people. You may see their actions, but you got to get that out your head. Because watch this. He approached Abraham with this mindset that he brings his commander of his army to do what? He already expected what? A fight. Can I say this to somebody here today? Our thoughts can be so negative when our when we perceive negative people, when we think about negative people. A person's actions may not align with their words, or we may perceive them a certain way, but when you approach them with negative thinking, you will treat them that way. And that's not how God, you know what I found out about believers? We have more negative thoughts going through our minds than we do positive thoughts. Uh-oh. Nobody wants to say amen. Never. It's true. The Bible says that you ought to take every what? Now, I know they did you in. I know they talked about you. I know they lied on you. I know they did some real foul stuff. And I know it's hard for you to think positive about them. But don't let what a person do to you change who you are and what God is doing in your life to develop you. Saints, I promise you, you go to the workplace, they hating on you. You go to school, they hating on you. You go in here, they hating on you. And their thoughts about you, but don't let their thoughts. My thing is this. So he approaches Abraham with his bodyguard, the commander of his army. Now, this will play later on in Isaac's life too. Now, the word Abimelech is not an actual name of a person. It's a title, by the way, just in case you need to know that. So the Abimelech in 26 and the Abimelech in 21 are two different Abimelechs. It's like saying he's the mayor, right? The mayor, the office that he holds. Now, check this out. He says, look what he says. Now, this is an interesting fact here. He says, God is with you. You know what you need to know about this? How is it the enemy knows God is with you, but you don't know God is with you? thinking. It's an interesting fact that even though he was intimidated by Abraham, even though, amen, he approached Abraham, watch this, when he came to Abraham, his words were like this: God is with you. Saints, I want you to know something. If you're going to be a peacemaker, the next thing you got to do is this. Don't forget you have a testimony to protect. Satan will always try to draw us out into some type of mess where our testimony, watch this, they may not tell you, but they're watching you. They may not say a word to you, but best to believe your testimony is speaking louder than any affirmation you'll ever get from a person. We have to act like God is with us. Come on, help me, somebody. Here's a pagan man watching a believer, and he makes the observation that God, do I have anybody here today? Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize that God is with you? I mean, come on, help me, will you? Do you know if really God is with you? Sometimes that thought will mess with you, but the question I have for you, it's not just about you being blessed. It's about how you living in front of other people. Now, if he would approach me with his boy, I'd be like, hold on a minute, let me go get my guys right quick. But he says, God, it's interesting that God will put you on display from a distance. People will know God is with you. Do I have anybody? And the evidence that he knew that God was with him, it was by the way he lived. Remember Lot? Remember when we did Lot? When Abraham came to Lot and they had this disagreement, right? He said, listen, son, pick. You want this side or this side? He said, man, I'm going to take the richest part, right? And what did Abe do? Abe took the part that he had to develop. But wherever he was, I'm trying to help somebody with something. Watch this. Listen, you may have had to start over. Oh. You may have had to, you know, put your hands to the plow again. And you may have had, amen, to start this train over again. But don't despise where you are, because God is with you. And here's what I know about God. If God be for you, this is why it's important to keep the demeanor of a peacemaker. Now, being a peacemaker does not mean you avoid conflict, by the way. Whenever we avoid conflict, we harbor the issue in our hearts, and it becomes resentment. Lord, have mercy. See, here's the thing. I gauge how I pray, and I watch my prayer requests, and I pay attention. I look at my prayer requests like I read my emails. I wish I had somebody. In other words, I put it in the God file. And then I look at it and I say to myself, okay, God, all right. Now, where am I and what am I doing? Because, watch this, I need to know if God is really with me. Do I have anybody here who have tested that principle? Now, you ain't just saying it, that you know God is with you. Where are all my people that know that God is with them? Boy, y'all. Woo, boys. It's a hard crowd today. Amen. Amen. How many know God is with you? Like he's really with you. What's the evidence of that? The evidence is not just experience, but the evidence is transformation. See, I could have went off. I should have went off. But my testimony, I had to protect. Some people don't realize. Reason I didn't go off on you is because I got something to protect. I got something more important, watch this, to lose. And that is not my relationship with God, but how I represent God. Oh, I'm trying to help you. When you go to family reunions, come on and help me, somebody. When you go to your folk house for Super Bowl, hold your peace. Stay your ground. Hold your testimony. Because watch this, that's more important than anything else you have. Your testimony is an important thing. Watch the text. Text says, God is with you. But watch this though. In all that you do. Man, people say, Pastor, I love you. I believe you. But your actions don't show that. See, what I do proves who I am. Put the next point up for me. Don't forget that you are responsible to bring God glory. So whereas you want to go off, well, I thank God I learned this principle a long time ago. Listen, I used to have a short fuse. Amen. Just one spark, and I'm there. But I thank God. As I started to grow as a believer, I realized that every time I do something that does not bring God glory, it moves people further and further. Listen, let them talk about you. Let them lie on you. Listen, let them say all kinds of stuff about you. Here's the bottom line. If it's not true, why are you tripping? If it's not true, why are you defending yourself? You don't have to defend something if it ain't true. But remember what you, listen, the reason I broke that down, God was with him in all that he what? Do, because that part is more important than everything in this text. He says, what Abraham did was to bring God glory. Do you know what that means? To bring God glory? Does anybody know what that means? Let me tell you what it means. The word glory means it's doxo. It's where you get the word doxology from. Right? But check this out. The word means to make something shine. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. So you're telling me that in what I do when I go to work, oh, come on, help me somebody. When I serve in ministry, whatever I do it unto the, oh, so that the Lord can get what? Glory. At your job. I know you don't like the job. All right, I got you. But if you don't like it, why you got your hands out for the check? I'm just asking. You're so upset at them people every day, but you're mad. But you've never turned down. You know what? Write this down. Ready? Unbelievers got discernment too. So they know that you go to church, but when you walk up in there with that stank on you, huh? Check it out. When you walk up with that stink on you, watch this now, you know what they're saying? And she go to church. And he's a preacher. And he's a deacon. And he's a leader. Didn't you say he's a leader in a church? Didn't he say he was going to a leadership training in church? Didn't you ask me to take off so I could be at the leadership meeting? But here you are cutting bad on everybody. Tell your neighbor, I want to be a peacemaker. It's possible. But look, watch this. Your testimony and giving God glory should be your number one focus in your life in 2024. Lord, my testimony and your glory. Lord, my testimony and your glory. Lord, my testimony and your glory. Lord, let me not do things. I ain't perfect. I'm going to have a few moments where I'm going to mess up. But Lord, let me not live a life where it does not bring glory to you. And when you give God glory, doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that, oh, you're going to get it right all the time. But do I have anybody here who's willing to take that step today? It's deeper than walking by faith. It's about saying, God, you have your hands on my life. And watch this. And everybody else sees it, that God is with me, but I have a testimony. Be careful what you put on social media. Everything does not belong. Preachers with cigars in their mouth and the little glass on the side. Uh-oh. And then you up here Sunday morning talking about, he died. But your testimony. Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if you know about Charles Spurgeon. He was one of the, he's called the Prince of Preachers. All right, 11,000 people in his church every Sunday morning to come and hear him preach. Charles Spurgeon, walking down the street, he used to love cigars. Back then, you know, they didn't have copyright laws. So he walking down, he loved cigars, smoking cigars, and then they did an ad. The cigar company did an ad with Charles Spurgeon on the cover of the newspaper. It almost put him in depression because he realized that his testimony was tainted because that's not what he wanted to be known for. I'm trying to tell you, people will take glimpses of your life. Oh, I wish I had somebody. And they're going to put it on the front page of their newspaper. And they're going to talk about you, but what you got to do is hold your peace and understand that your testimony is too important to give in to that. Are you with me? Watch this. Verse 23. He says, now therefore, I don't know why he approached Abraham like this, right? All right? I got 9 minutes. Don't worry. Now therefore, swear to me. Swear to me. I'm going to show you next week how you take somebody who wants to say, let's make a promise, and swear to God. Watch this. He says, swear to me. He didn't say swear to God. He said, swear to me. This is an agreement here by God. Look what he said. Swear to me here by God. Now, interesting fact. Abimelech didn't believe in Abraham's God. But you see what your testimony, come on somebody, and giving God glory will do to unbelief. This is all I'm trying to say, is that a lot of people around you could be saved already if you protect your testimony and give God glory. Watch this. He says, swear to me here by God, big G, that you will not deal what? Falsely with me or my offspring or with my posterity. Now, watch this. Watch this though. It's interesting to me that word posterity just means family, lineage. That's what that means. That means his lineage, family. The next thing you need to know is this. That's it. If I could say anything to anybody here today. Now, y'all know this is my big one. All right? This is my big one right here. If I give my word is my word. Now, what Abimelech was doing in his carnal mind is he wanted Abraham to be true to his word, so he used God, oh my gosh, to make a promise to him about his future. But I want to say this to you. The one thing he did not know about Abraham, Abraham was a man of his word. And can I ask you a question? Are you a person of your word? Because your integrity is, it means this, in a nutshell. What you say is what you mean. If you say A, it's not B. If you say B, it's not D. But everything you say in the power that God and the strength that God has given you, you keep your word no matter what. So you got God's glory. You got what? You got your testimony. And you got what? Integrity. You know, people today can't live in peace because they don't keep their word to each other. You ever have a person like that in your life where they say one thing but they mean something? They say one, no, you can't leave him alone. You can't leave him alone. See, you can't leave him alone. You got to be a peacemaker. You got to say to them, listen, here's the deal. Here I am. You may not be your word. You may not keep your word, but by my example, I can help you to keep yours. That was good. That was good, right? That was good, right? Yeah, that was fitting. leave him alone. You don't leave him alone, baby. Got to pray for him. You got to love him. You got to see, and that's what I started off with. That's what we do with people. We throw them away. We write them off. But Scripture says, if your enemy is hungry, take him to dinner. The Bible says, what credit is it? You know what, you know, in that passage, you know what that's about? That's about you learning to come out of your comfort zone and learning a new skill. It's hard to love difficult people, y'all. Like, for real, it's hard to say in your heart, like, I cut for this person, because you know, it's hard to do that. But why did Jesus say it's possible? Because of one thing, the Holy Spirit. It's possible that the Holy Spirit can take all that negativity that you may have in your mind about a person. I block it out, man. Listen. I block it out. And the reason I block it out, because here's the thing. I can't be in your presence and be fake. Come on, y'all. Come on now. Come on now. We talking right now. We talking right now. I can't smile in your face and stab you in the back. Now, that may be you. But guess what? I'm going to keep giving God the shine. I'm going to keep keeping my word. And just because you're not what I am, I'm going to keep being what I am. And let me tell you something. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But what we got to do is keep being what God is trying to get us to be. And that is a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. New things have come. Are you with me? And that new thing means you have a new mind. You have a new heart. You have the ability not to grumble. Children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, all they did was grumble. They had a grumbling spirit. And the Bible says that grumbling came up to God. I got one last thing, and I'm sit down. Let me just sit down. He says, look what he says now. He says, the reason I'm asking you to do this, look at the but part, right? See it right after posterity? He says, but according to the what? Kindness that I have shown to you. You shall show what? To me. And to the what? And to the land in which you have sojourned. Now, Here's the part of this verse you need to learn. Watch this. You see, Abimelech was kind to Abraham. He really was. He showed him mercy when he should have taken him out. When he lied about Sarah. Come on, y'all. He should have taken him out. He should have killed him. But he gave him favor. God was with Abraham. Abimelech knew that God was with Abraham in all that he did. But Abimelech returned the favor, treated him good. And here's what I found out about people. My last point. Right here. Right here, man. When God make you a millionaire, don't stop being grateful. Don't stop being thankful. Abraham, Abimelech was drawing on the fact that he was good to Abraham. May I ask you a question? Are you always like this? With your hands out? Or are you doing this? Because you got to have something to draw back on to say, listen, this is what I've done. And never forget to remain grateful and thankful. You know what I found out about people? They lose gratitude as soon as they start winning. When they ain't winning, oh, they're so humble. Oh, yes, sir, Pastor. What can I do? But the moment they get a little boost, a little blessing, they start forgetting. The moment Satan sows a seed in their mind about something about you, guess what? They stop showing you gratitude. They stop, what they used to be, the real them show up. And so what I'm saying to you today is, in the kingdom, there's no place for negativity. All of us in this church got different personalities. All of us. All of us in this church have a different, watch this, level of maturity spiritually. Watch this now. Watch this. And what God wants us to do is to get along. Be peacemakers with each other. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. Listen, if you're mentoring somebody, make sure that you're being a good example to them. Make sure that your testimony is not getting tainted because you got comfortable with them. And then if you give somebody your word, come on, help me, somebody. Keep your word. You know, a football team is unified. It doesn't mean that just because the team is together that it's really unified, right? It doesn't mean that everyone on the team is playing the same position. They're unified. But everybody don't play the same position, right? It doesn't mean that everybody's going or headed to the same goal. If an orchestra is harmonizing, it's not because they're playing the same instruments. It's because they're all playing the same song. Come on, help me. If a choir is singing in a great harmony, it's not because they're singing the same parts. It's because they're adding to the what? To the part, to the same song. And watch this. It is the goal to produce unity. And unity is not sameness. Unity has to do with the same purpose. Lord have mercy. I'm going to say it one more time. Unity has nothing to do with sameness. Unity has something to do with what? The same purpose. And when Abimelech and Abraham got together, they had the same purpose. And saints, as a church, as believers in Christ, if we have the same purpose to glorify God, to preserve our testimony, come on, help me somebody, to watch it, to bring God glory, to keep our integrity intact, to be grateful and thankful, we will reach the finish line